And I want to start by sharing a story with you. About 10 days ago, I was in Wisconsin. It was cold. And I was ministering, music and testimony at this place called Green Lake Conference Center, a pretty famous place, beautiful place. And it was a gathering of a lot of people from the American Baptist Association. And the head of their missions was there. And he is the executive director. They have about 2,000 missionaries, part-time, full-time and things. And he told me this amazing story. When he told the story, he says, oh, I can't wait to bring this to the church. He told me about a man, I never heard of this man, named Henry Richards. Henry Richards was a Baptist missionary from England, not from the U.S. And in 1880, he went to the Congo. And he went to a group of people that had never heard about Christ. I mean, they were an unreached people, 1880, of course. This was in the deepest of Africa, in the Congo. And he wanted to go there, and he wanted to reach these people for Christ. And he wanted to do it, first of all, he felt the need of just getting to know them and then translating the Bible. And he decided to translate the Gospel of Luke. And so let's see. And this is the passage he came to. This is a true story about, in his diary that he wrote that this man shared with me. He was translating the Gospel of Luke because Luke, of course, has the parables and he could do a lot of stories with these people. So he decided to do Luke, not John, as a first book. And he came to this passage, give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Now, this is a portion of the Sermon on the Mount in Luke's Gospel. Matthew has the extended version. Luke has the more abridged version. So these are the words of Jesus. And when he came to this passage, he was translating it. And he was so convicted, he said, that he couldn't translate it because he says, how can I tell these people about Jesus Christ and I'm translating the words of Jesus Christ when I'm not even doing these words? He said, there are people in the tribe who have been sick and they ask me if I have medicine. I have medicine, but the medicine's for me. What am I going to do if I get sick? What's going to happen to me? And there are people that have needs. They need some help. They need some tools. But I need these tools. And he looked at everything he had. It was all the things he brought from England to help him, to keep him alive, to help him in his ministry, to sustain him. And he kept looking at all these things. And these people had come to him and asked him for some help and some things. And here Jesus says these words. He says, here I'm working. I've come thousands of miles to the darkest place of Africa to reach these people. And I want to tell them the words of Jesus Christ. And I'm not even doing these words. Wow. I mean, because we're studying the words of Jesus Christ. So he gathered all these people in this tribe. And he says, he wrote, he was weeping. He said, you know, I'm here to tell you about Jesus Christ. They don't even know who Jesus is. Who's Jesus Christ? I want to tell you about this person that has changed my life and salvation and to know forgiveness and to have your heart clean, all these things. He says, and I'm coming to these places and I'm trying to translate it into your language, into your tongue. And I came to this and he began to tell them what this was. And he knew, of course, what the words were to translate to them. I haven't done this. And I want to tell you to do this and I don't do it. So he said about an hour after the meeting, someone came to his house and he says, can I have your medicine? And he says, here, you take my medicine. Another person said, can I have your tool? Oh, here, take my tool. And he said, systematically, everybody in the tribe stripped him of everything. Everything. His food, his tools, his medicine, everything he had, his books. The only thing he had left was the clothes he was wearing. That's all he had left. And he said, I have nothing. I'm going back to England. I'm going back to England. I have nothing anymore. I'm stripped of everything. The next day he was going to go back to England. And in the morning when the sun rose, a man came back and he says, here's your medicine. Another man came and said, here's your tool. And everything that they took away, they brought back and they said, now we believe you have something to tell us. And 20,000 Congolians came to know Jesus Christ. It was called, I never heard about this. It was called the Pentecost of the Congo River. I never heard of it. The Pentecost of the Congo River. Here is a man that I've never heard of him. I've asked four or five people they ever heard of him. And yet when he finally decided to do the words of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, now watch what I can do. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. And Jesus says, now watch what I will do. Isn't that great? What a story. What a convicting story. But not, I don't use that in a convicting way, but we're looking at the words of Jesus. Jesus said, heaven and earth is going to pass away. My words will never pass away. So, let's go now. This is what we're looking at. This is in Mark chapter 10. Very, very familiar words. Everybody knows these words. Suffer the little children that come to me for such. So, this is the passage in Mark chapter 10. They were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. Let's go on just for a moment. He took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. So we're going to look at this passage, very, very famous passage, because of course Jesus is saying these words about the kingdom of God and the likeness of coming as a child. They were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked him. So obviously these parents had seen some of the things Jesus did. I mean, that's how they were attracted to him. They heard what Jesus spoke. They saw certain miracles that he did. And really, they wanted Jesus to come. And notice it says here, they wanted him that he might touch them. You know, that he might be able to have some connection of reaching out to them. And I say this on a much, 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 much smaller scale, but about every 10 concerts or so, usually there's someone that comes to me after a concert and says, oh, can I touch your hand, you know, because I play the piano. Oh, can I shake those hands that played the piano? And, you know, you're very humbled by that. And so on a much bigger scale here, they're looking at Jesus and they say, would they touch these children? Look what it says in Matthew's gospel, because it's in Matthew and also in Luke. So some children were brought to him so that he may lay his hands on them and pray. You know, it's almost like a form of a Jewish dedication, because the children that were brought to the temple were dedicated to the Lord. My wife and I dedicated our three children when they were little infants. We brought them to the Lord and had the pastor pray for them and to honor them with the Lord being blessing in their life and guiding them to know Jesus Christ. So here it says specifically that he may not just lay his hands on them, he may pray for them. A really kind of this form of this dedication. Then in Luke's gospel, look how Luke describes it in Luke 18:15, and they were bringing even their babies to him. So this is not just children that were 7 or 8 or 9 or 10, even babies, 3 months old, 2 months old, 6 months old, they were bringing babies to him that he may touch them when they were, and when the disciples saw it, they became indignant. So here Jesus is accepting and wanting these families to come, or these children, they're coming in that sense, babies, children, this form of some sort of a blessing on them and a prayer for them. And then all three Gospels, again in Mark, it says all three Gospels use the same word. They were rebuked by the disciples. They rebuked them. They stopped them. They criticized them. They thought maybe that Jesus didn't have time for them. I mean, he would spend time with the Pharisees, with the Sadducees, with the leaders, with Romans, with the Jairus. He was the synagogue leader, with the centurion. He was head of the hundreds of the Roman military. I mean, that's who Jesus is involved with. He talks to the high priest. He talks about your little children. They saw the kids as some sort of an interruption. They saw the kids as some sort of a nuisance. Now, let me say this. I'm not saying that the disciples were thinking in the same vein. But when you think of children as an interruption and you think of children as a nuisance, it leads to abortion. That's a very, very big concept of people who have abortions. They don't want the kid. It's inconvenient. I don't want another kid. I don't want any kids yet. It's a mistake. I had a bad night. And that's the way it is. And right now, I'm not interested in them. And pro-death philosophy is that kids are sort of a nuisance. They're not worth it. I don't want to be bogged down with it for 18 years, and so be it. So, look what happens. Jesus then interrupts them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Jesus was now criticizing of them. I mean, the same kind of concept. He was flustered. He was incensed. He was indignant, said to them, permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. So Jesus now begins to say to them, permit the children to come to me. And what Jesus says is two things. He tells us this truth, which is in this verse. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And then he uses this truth as an illustration of a very powerful principle that he relates in the next verse about the kingdom of God. So let's look at this. Let's look at this just for a minute as I look at this at the beginning. The truth is that Jesus says that you're never too young to come to Jesus. You're never too young to have an interest in knowing about the person of Jesus. Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Now, I want to share something with you. My wife and I was talking about this. My wife has kept a diary on all of our children, our baby's first 7 years. And one of them has to do with a spiritual experience. So I want to read you. This is about our daughter, Sarah, who eventually went to Wheaton College and has gone to Africa and has really loves the Lord. And actually, today or so, or soon, is going to become a part of Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., about right behind the Capitol. Loves the church, and we've been there. So let me read you what it says here. At 3 years of age, Sarah admitted that she wasn't a Christian. In September, while Mommy was making applesauce, she explained the gospel to Sarah. Sarah wanted to talk to Jesus and then said, now the way Sarah talked to Jesus is that she got on a telephone. Because the way Daddy talks to people he can't see is on a telephone. So this is a three-year-old, right? So the way I talk to God, I don't see God, so I must get on a telephone. So not, you know, she put her hand like this. She got on a telephone. And she talked to Jesus about being a Christian. And then when Sarah wanted to talk to Jesus, and then Sarah said, Jesus say me a Christian. Jesus say me a Christian. I'm a Christian now. I talked to Jesus to be a Christian for forgiveness. She explained the gospel to him. She prayed. Since then, Sarah has wanted to pray for her friends, read Bible stories, and sing Bible songs, etc. 3 years old. In January of 1983, at the age of 3 and a half, almost, Mommy was using nail polish to remove some polish on Sarah's nails. Sarah commented, I drink, I see Jesus. If I drink the nail polish, I'll die, but I'll see Jesus. Right? You know, she probably says, can I drink this? Oh, but if you drink this, you'll die. Oh, I drink, I see Jesus. Pause. That's good. I see Jesus. Mommy explained that we must wait for Jesus to call us. Sarah also commented on how good God works while we're driving to church because of the things he made. So we're driving to church. She said, God, look what God made. Tree. Look at God. Look at the sun. God good. This is 3 and a half years old. Sarah's very sensitive spiritually. She loves the Christmas billboard that says, Jesus Christ, if you love him, seek his ways. She's 3 and a half. If you love Jesus, seek his ways. At 4 and a half, Sarah prays beautifully at bedtime. She looks forward to Jesus coming again. She also prays when we play games that she would win. I remember that. We pray, Jesus, help me win. I want to win. At 5 and a half, Sarah is continuing to pray, and she starts reading the Family Bible Library, which, by the way, it's a tremendous volume of devotions for families, which is in the library. All 10 volumes are in the library, which we have read through many times. In her first grade, 1985-86, Miss Lindy Miller, I remember Lindy Miller, was her Sunday school teacher. Sarah loves her Sunday school teacher, and she begins memorizing many Bible verses. You are never too young. Children are never too young to be taught about Jesus Christ. They're not too young to be taught about sin. They're not too young to be taught about salvation. They're not too young to be taught about the cross. I remember when I taught a DVBS for five-year-olds, I said, how many of you ever lied? And they all raised their hand. I said, did you go to lying school? No, I didn't. If you learned a lie, how did you learn to lie? So you know, you're never too young. Children are never, never, never too young. Jesus says, permit the children, babies to come to me, children to come to me. And again, I just want to read. I don't usually read so many quotes, but this is a great quote from J.C. Ryle. Listen to what he says. Children are never too young to receive religious impressions and instruction. They think in their childish ways about God and their souls and the world to come, right? My daughter was thinking about the world to come. I drink, I see Jesus. That's good. Far sooner, they think in their childish ways about God and their souls and the world to come far sooner and far more deeply than most people are aware. They are far more ready to respond to the appeals of the feelings of right and wrong than many people suppose. They each have a conscience. God has mercifully not left himself without a witness in their little hearts. We cannot begin too soon to endeavor to bring them and share Christ with them. And you know what the statistics are, overwhelmingly, that the vast, vast, vast majority of people who come to commit their lives to Jesus Christ do it before they're 18 years old. That is a known statistic. Now, people come to Christ afterwards. I was 20. My wife was 20. You meet a lot of people. But the vast majority of people come to Christ when they are before they're 18 years old. They go to a youth retreat. This weekend, we have a youth retreat. Pastor Eric's done a great job. He's taken about a dozen or 14 youth up to, they're gone this weekend. And at a youth retreat, people can become really serious. Christian camp. Christian, lots of people come to Christ at a Christian camp. Sunday school teachers. Sunday school teachers. You're a Sunday school teacher. You have that flannel graph. You get on your knees. You share with them. You have no idea how many people have come to Christ from their little, not the preacher, not the church, not the adult group, but their Sunday school teacher. Their son, DVBS. Our daughter, Anna, was 7 years old. She loved our DVBS. And she was so excited about the coming of DVBS on Monday morning at 9 o'clock. She was in front of our church. No one was around her. And at that moment, she says, I want to give my whole life to Jesus Christ. And before even DVBS began, she became a Christian at 7 years old. We're in front of our church before. That was a great DVBS, she said, when she came to know Christ. So, you know, all these things, teaching children, praying with children, these retreats, all these things that we nurture, line upon line, precept upon precept. We have a lot of parents here. Listen, my parents. Listen, brothers and sisters in Christ. Teach your children about Jesus Christ. Don't leave it up to the church. Read the Bible. Read the Bible with them. Have family devotions. Communicate to your children about what Jesus Christ, what He does for you, who He is to you, who Jesus is. A lot of parents say, I don't have time to communicate with my kids about school. That's not good. That's not good. They hear it from you. You have a much, much greater impact than the Sunday school teacher, than the pastor does. Much greater impact. Pray for your kids. Grandparents. Parents, pray for your kids every day. I don't care if you're 90 years old and your son is 70. You should pray for your kid every day. You should pray for your child every day. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, my child, the fruit of my womb, my son, my daughters. You should pray every day. Doesn't have to be a big prayer, but pray for them. Bring them to the throne of Jesus Christ. Ask God's guidance, God's blessing, God's help upon them. And all of this, if I could say this, is taught to us in Deuteronomy. Let's look at this passage. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so that you will not forget the things which your eyes have seen and which you did not, and they do not depart from your hearts all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and to your grandsons. Here he says, you've seen things that people haven't seen. You've witnessed things. Things have happened in your heart that you've seen these things. Don't forget these things. Teach them to your sons and your grandsons. He goes on. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, Mount Sinai, when the Lord said to you, assemble the people of Israel that I may let them hear my words, so they may learn to fear me all the days of their lives they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Transfer this. You know, they say that Christianity is only one generation away from extinction. One generation away. Teach these things to your children. Bring them to Jesus Christ. Jesus, permit them. Bring your children to me. Show your children to me. Reveal them to me. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the high point of the Jewish expression. The height of their theology. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Well, I had a blank there. I've only said it 3 billion times. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And what does the next verse say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Who said that? Jesus. This is the greatest commandment. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Go ahead. These words which I am commanding today shall be on your hearts. You shall teach them diligently. You shall teach them diligently. Not just once an hour, diligently to your sons. You shall talk with them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. When you're doing applesauce, you can talk to your little child. Look at this apple. Sarah, isn't that a nice apple? Who made that apple? God made that apple. and eat that apple, sir. How does it taste? Apple good, apple good. Yeah, who made you taste apple good? God made me taste apples good. And you feel strong. You eat meat, you eat, and you're strong. Oh, who gives you the strength from the meat and from the apple you eat? God gave me strength. Look, diligently you shall teach your sons. Sit down in your house. Walk by the way. Lie down. Rise up. It's a natural thing that you share about Christ and who is Christ and what Christ has done. Look what Christ has done and see who Christ is. Let's go on. You shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. You shall be as the frontlets of your forehead. This is a Jewish ceremony where they get this, where you put these leather straps called the tefillin around your arm and put them around your head to be a reminder. It's a reminder every day. God's word. Be careful, little mind, what you think. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. All this is a whole Jewish ceremony that comes from this verse. Go on. You shall teach them to your sons, talking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you rise up. Next Sunday at 12:15, we're going to have a meeting of all the parents in our church with children and anybody who's interested in children's ministry. We are starting a ministry on Wednesday night, supplementing Sunday, an outreach program in the community to reach children for Jesus. This is not reaching adults. This is reaching children. We've had it in the bulletin for 5 weeks. This is a very, very big, important meeting. And all of you with parents, you ought to be there. This is your children, of how we can minister to them and have them come and learn more and how we can reach out to other people. And if you're a senior citizen and you can cut a craft and you can pray, I hope there's going to be 50 people at that meeting. I tell you, I think it's not untimely that Jesus has me preach this message the 1 week before we're having the meeting about what he's very talking about. Here is a practical, concrete, visual way of we are trying to reach people right on the other side of the wall, and children in our church, and children in our church, inviting other children in our church, that they may meet Jesus Christ. Meet Jesus Christ. So let's go on. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Well, notice that Jesus says the same words. I just want to show this in all three Gospels. He says, "Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." This is what it says in Luke. "Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And this is in Matthew. "Do not hinder them for coming to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." So what is Jesus saying here? On the record, it seems a little bit confusing. Is the kingdom of God made up of the little kids? Is the kingdom of God made up of kids? This kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And wonder of wonders, which is wonderful about the words of Christ, is that he answers it in the next verse. Look what he says. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And the same words are given to us in Luke. "Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And in Matthew, it's not explained to us. But here it's explained to us in Mark's and Luke's gospel. He says to us that the reason the children need to come to him is because it's a real true value and illustration of a truth. If we do not accept the kingdom of God like a child, we will not enter the kingdom of God at all. What is a child? A child is very, very dependent. A child is very, very limited in strength. A child is very limited in knowledge. A child is very limited in his ideas and plans. A child is very needy. A child is in need of help. A child is in need of feeding. A child is in need of cleansing. A child is in need of clothing. A child is in need of protection. And Jesus says that is exactly, notice he says, unless you do not receive the kingdom of God like a child. Not that you are a child. I'm not a child anymore physically. But to enter it like the child. Dependent. Humbled. Needy. Limited in my strength, limited in my knowledge, limited in my ideas, limited in my perception. And he's telling us that the same picture you have as a child with a parent is exactly the same picture we have as a follower to our Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And when we have our youth pastor and Megan here this morning with Amelia Constance, a baby that's only 6 weeks older, how old she is, and that this baby has to be totally dependent, that the love of her parents and the desire of her parents is not going to drop her and not give her something to harm her and not let anything to draw near to harm her and to hug her and to keep kissing her and to keep enveloping her and keep getting up in the middle of the night for her and keep looking at everything. Literally, if I could say this, when they had a child, their whole life turned around. And if I could say this, when Jesus Christ came to the earth and people began to follow Jesus, his whole life turned around. He now began to focus on bringing people and nurturing people and guiding people and teaching people and dying for people. The same picture. Very, very needy, very dependent. And let me tell you something. The older you get in Jesus Christ, and let me say this, the more mature you get in Jesus Christ, the more you realize how absolutely dependent you are on Jesus Christ. The older you get in Christ doesn't make you independent. The older you get physically makes you independent, not spiritually. The whole picture is the opposite. The opposite. You grow up, you're independent. You grow up in Christ, you're more dependent. You know more. You realize more. You need more grace and more forgiveness and more mercy and more kindness and more humility. That's a sign of spiritual growth. Look what this says in Matthew's Gospel. Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Now let me say this. There are four, I heard a wonderful preacher pray on the four accepts. The four accepts are four times in the mystery of Jesus. Jesus used the word accept and the kingdom of God. For instance, except you are born again, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of God. This is one of the four accepts. Truly, I say to you, unless, except you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. You become like a child. You're absolutely, can I say this? You're absolutely dependent for your well-being. Just to think what God wants to minister to us and how he casts all your burdens upon the Lord because he cares for you. Every hair on your head is numbered. You are more valuable than the sparrows which hear one day and go. Here you are more valuable than the lilies of the field and the grass of the earth. You are of infinite value. How valuable you are to me. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God, and that we are. When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give me my daily bread. Forgive me of my sins. Lead me not into temptation. To you be the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh, man. What a way to live. Don't be anxious what you wear, what you put on. Your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. He knows what you're going through. He knows your physical pain, spiritual pain, struggles you have. He knows it. Depend it upon Him. Cast it upon Him. Say, Lord, I need your help. I'm limited in my strength. I'm limited in my knowledge. I'm limited in what to do. I don't know what to do. What do I do? Where do I go? God says, wow, I'm an expert at that. I'm an expert at that. I need forgiveness. I'm an expert at that. I need strength. I'm an expert at that. I'm your Father, your Heavenly Father. A few months ago, we preached on this first part in Mark. Let's go to that. Mark chapter 9. Sitting down, Jesus, the disciples were thinking, who was the greatest of them? Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. And how does he illustrate it? How does he illustrate servant of all? Taking a child, he set them before them and taking him in his arms. So this is no 9-year-old. This is a little child, maybe 2 or so or 1. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me. Your ministering even to a little child is unto me. And then he says later, look at these words, whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a heavy millstone is hung around his neck and he'd be cast in the sea. Why? Because children are so vulnerable. They're so impressionable. You can give them poison. Eat it. Okay, I'll eat it. I trust mommy and daddy. here, go do whatever you want. I don't really, you know, go do, oh, Daddy, I can do anything I want. He doesn't love you that way. He cares for you. How vulnerable children are, how impressionable, how they look to their parents for their love and for their care. You know, you can be an independent Baptist. That's a denomination. We're an independent Baptist. These are people that are Baptists, and they have no affiliation or support or need of any other group or denomination. You can be an independent Baptist. You can't be an independent Christian. You can't be an independent Christian. In fact, look what Jesus said here in John. I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do something. Apart from me, you can do something, but not apart from me, you can do nothing. That is dependence. Dependence. Like Mr. Henry Richards. Lord, I don't have anything more. What? I don't have anything. I don't have medicine. I don't have food. I don't have tools. I don't have clothing. This is all I have. I got to go home. God says, you have no idea what I have for you. I have not only everything brought back to you, but watch what I'm going to present for you. Thousands upon thousands of Congolese people. I'm going to give you the Pentecost, not of Jerusalem, the Pentecost on the Congo River. And then you rely upon a good God. Look at this. Look at this great verse that Jesus tells to us. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And that's what we call the present imperative. Keep asking of your Father. Keep seeking from your Father. Keep knocking from your Father. Look what it says. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him the door will be opened to you. So after Jesus gives us this encouragement, what would be the ultimate illustration? What would illustrate this to show to us ultimately how encouraging we should be in asking and seeking and knocking? Look what he says. Of what man is there among you when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Here you want to give your son some bread, but you give him a big rock. Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? He wants some fish, and he throws a snake on there. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Here is Sam Rotman, selfish, self-centered, thinking about himself, even as a Christian, thinking about what's me and how I'm doing and things. And here you have a child. And if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, loving your child, kissing your child, the best for your child, cleaning the poop of your child, nursing your child, waking up in the middle of the night for your child, clothing your child, praying for your child, guiding your child, holding the hand. If you, being evil, this is a verse that had a big impression on me in 1977. This is where I came to realize, man, if God is for me, who can be against me? If you, being evil, if God looks at me and what I do for my children, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? Oh, man! I want to cast my burdens upon him. I want to give my needs to him. I want to ask him to help me and guide me and give me strength. I want to be dependent. Dependent. Oh, but Lord, it's so hard to be totally dependent. In case plan A doesn't come through, I need my plan B. I need my plan B. Let's read on. Look what he says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And look at the verbs. I love. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. Look what God does. He restores us. He leads us. He guides us. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. Oh, my goodness. What you have done for me, what you have accomplished for me. Oh, Lord, I just want to be as a little child. David said this in the Psalms. I want to just be as a little child, as a baby sucking his mother's breast. That's what it says. I want to, as it were, could I say this reverently? I want to huddle myself in the fetal position in the lap of my Heavenly Father and suck his spiritual breast. Like newborn babes desire the sincere miracle of the Word of God. I know it's not the accurate picture, if I can say this, but David says that. David realizes humbling himself. How does God guide us? This is the way, walk ye in it. Walk ye in it. You know, I love the truth where it says in James chapter 1, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to us liberally and does not upbraid us. You know, here's a four-year-old kid coming to his dad. He says, Dad, I don't understand. I know you want me to learn this, but I don't understand algebraic topology. That's a real subject, by the way, in math. I taught a piano student in Princeton from Sweden who was getting his PhD in algebraic topology. I didn't even ask him what it was about. I didn't even ask. But it's algebraic topology. And here I come to God. God, I know I should know algebraic topology, but I don't know it. I don't know it. Which I need your wisdom. God is never going to criticize you for when you come to Him as His Heavenly Father for your need. God is not going to criticize you. I know I should know this, but I'm sorry, I don't know this yet, but I'm asking you, would you please help me? Give me your wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, what we need wisdom for? What we need insight for? Lord, what do I do? What do I do? Say that to God with an open hand and watch what He says. He does say something. This is the way. Walk in it. A sign of spiritual maturity is a sign of more dependence. The more dependent you are, the more you're growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not the opposite. And many people have come across that they've got all the knowledge and all the understanding and all the wisdom and all the power and all the things. My friend, case has shown that these people are morally weak, spiritually weak. Because if you really know the power of God, you're humbled. You're dependent. You're a child. It's not wrong to be a Christian and say, I don't know. You know that? I don't know. Just think how dependent you are on God for someone to come to Christ. Just think of it for a minute. My brother flew in this week from Austin, Texas, and we spent a day at my mother's apartment. My mother fell asleep in Jesus last April. And for the first time in maybe 10 years, now my father was at my daughter's wedding and heard the gospel, but for the first time in maybe 10 years, I had a three-hour talk with my brother about Jesus Christ. I was dumbfounded. He sat there and I was quoting the New Testament. Deborah was there. And afterwards we prayed and said, Lord, if you don't open up his heart, he won't get it. He's heard it. He's had seeds dropped. But if you don't open up the heart, some seed fell upon the good soil and the heart received it 30, 60, 100 fold. How dependent we are. Well, that's the same thing. Just as dependent we are on God for our salvation is as dependent we are in being kept by God, in growing in God. The same dependence, the same need. Just as you receive Christ, Colossians 2:7, just as you receive Christ, continue to walk in Him. Continue to walk in Him. The way God opened up my heart, I'm in need of God continuing to open my heart, to live for Him and to seek Him. So look at the passage at the end. Truly I say to whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. And look what Jesus says. He took them in His arms and began blessing them, laying His hands on them. Look at this. Laying His hands on them. I want to close with two passages. Philippians 1, for I am confident this very thing, that he that began a good work in you will perfect it, will complete it until the day of Christ. The God who called me is the God who's going to preserve me and the God who's going to present me. He began the work in me and he's going to complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. And then this wonderful verse in Philippians, now not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Notice that. Remember, he said he laid his hand upon them. My friend, if you're a child of God, God has laid his hand upon you. And the more humbled you are, the more needy you are, the more dependent you are, the more honest you are in letting people take everything that you have, Mr. Henry Richards, God says, watch what I can do in fulfilling that and coming through. To lay hold of that which Christ also has laid hold of me. Permit the children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. And unless you become as a child, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray together. Father, we know that the only way up is down. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have proclaimed strength. And we even pray this morning for Pastor Eric and our youth. We pray for them right now as they've had this retreat. I know many people, we have prayed for much of your grace to bless them. And now we pray after this that you will do a great work in our youth. You will bring them to a great security in Jesus Christ. You'll give them the faith to open their heart to Jesus Christ. We pray that as they have come to you this weekend, that you have done a great work by your grace. Thank you for Pastor Eric. Thank you for Pastor Mark and their ministry. But Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ. We humble ourselves to you this morning. Make us dependent, Lord, because you are faithful to meet all of our needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.